This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to everyone. Tonight is, Wednesday, February 29th for a change, 2012. My name is Doug Kelly, glad to have you, and I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, it's a leap year. We're leaping.
Yeah, we're leaping. Interesting, our show is on the 29th. I wonder when that will happen again. Have to do the calculations. So it's good to have everybody with us tonight. If you're listening live, we're listening to the archive. Glad you could join us. If you are listening live and you want to be a part of it, we welcome that. You can ask questions in the chat room or you can give us a call at the number there on your screen, 714-459-3973. Dr. John Hightower will be screening your calls as usual. Tonight we're going to be talking about the energy and architecture. Does design influence energy? We'll be talking about the layouts and designs of buildings and, you know, is there anything to that? So we'll be having that discussion. Of course, Metaphysical Universe is a educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore science, spirituality, empower the human condition. So we're glad to have you with us. So tonight is energy and architecture, an interesting concept, eh, Vicki?
You know, actually, it's a brilliant topic if we can really get into energy flows, because this leads all the way into things such as talismans and geometrics. So architecture is just what we see most of, you know, in buildings. And we think of architecture, I think we think of skyscrapers, you know, yeah, houses and that kind of stuff. But actually, it's really very fascinating. And look, way back, you know how castles are shaped and they have these very phallic symbols and such? That's really largely because it was designed by, religious, you know, Christian, obviously,
men.
Folks and men, that's true. So if we think about, though, it has a connection to nature, as in trees and pillars and how it's evolved over, you know, we can go back even a few thousand years about architecture and design and symbols, and very many old cultures, you know, were very, very picky, mm-hmm, about energy. You know, we're going to talk about this tonight, and if anybody has anything they want to add in or you got any comments, questions, please feel free to join in. It's a wonderful discussion, such as pyramids is big, teepees, teepee energy, we can talk about that a little later on. But it's not just about the architecture that we're so familiar with when you walk out your door and you see a house and it looks like a matchstick box, and I guess people don't even know what matchstick boxes are anymore, do they, Doug? You know, little wooden matchsticks that come in. I think everything is like so
big. Well,
thick,
yeah, I think they,
you know.
Yeah.
And so there's some really fascinating elements to energy flow, and just how everything is structured and how we've evolved that way. I am fascinated by architecture. Not so much, I suppose, in the same ways that, you know, engineers might be. But, you know, I actually, in some of the research, and somebody had posted on my Facebook today about Frank Lloyd Wright, and I sent you that link, Doug, in Wikipedia. Frank Lloyd Wright was what they say is like one of the most recognized, recognized architectural designers of the last century, recognized by the American Institute of Architects as the greatest American architect of all time, they say. But his claim to fame was organic architecture. But I think that other old cultures might challenge that, such as the Japanese with Japanese gardens. We can just go on and on and on. So like I say, if anybody has any input, any questions, just feel free to leap in.
Well, the whole concept of feng shui is about energy flow throughout a building.
Absolutely. You know, interesting, just on that very point, The Chinese say your door should be to the east, and whenever they go to purchase a house, at least this is culturally what I'm told by Chinese people, they look for a door that faces the east. And they look for that because that's where the sun rises and they're from the east. Well, even there's a lot of American Indian cultures that have their door of a teepee and such facing the east. Hmm. If you put the head of your bed at the east or the west where you're facing the east, depends, you know, east-west kind of motion, that's a better sleep pattern than if you're north or south. So if you do have a room that you can't possibly put your the head of your bed at the east or west, then go north, not south, because it's like, at least in the northern hemisphere, it's like hanging upside down on the planet.
Well, you know. My head is aimed toward the south, so that probably would explain a few things, huh?
Good. It could, too.
There's your problem right there.
But that is... you know, these are the theories. I happen to have done a little experimenting, and I will tell you, it may be psychological, but I sleep better with my head either at the east or the west. So I've done a lot of changing things around. But this is where I say, with feng shui and the energy flows or patterns within a home and the door at the east, are very critical things to very many cultures. And, I mean, look, Doug, I think we all know if you even change where your couch is in your house, it changes the living room energy.
Really?
You know, it. Well, put your couch this way or that way and move it around, and it feels different. The energy flows different.
See, and that's one of the things that we probably need to talk about right off the bat is, you know, when you talk about the energy of architecture, you know, it can mean a lot of things. And one of the more objective, grounded ways of looking at it is just the vibe you get from any particular building or house or whatever. I mean, we all go to a house and it can be very cozy. Well, that's a vibe. That's an energy of the house, of the atmosphere. We can go to a house that's very plain and not decorated. Well, that has its own, quote, energy or vibe. And so a lot of that's what we're talking about. And what does that energy do? I mean, how is it conducive? You know, think about a happy home. I mean, just want a happy home. Well, that's a certain energy, you know. And, of course, if you have an unhappy home, that's its own energy, so...
Well, and there are things that you can do to change that energy. But keep in mind, this is different than having spirits in your house.
Right. So you might have those, too.
You could have those,
that'd
too.
That'd be cool.
So I think the distinction has to be made in whether or not there are other energies at work, you know, that have to do with the ground or under the ground, because even ground space has energy.
That's a good point, because even with some residual type hauntings, there is the stone tape theory. And if you, I mean, it sounds pretty exotic, but it's really pretty practical. It's a stone and then a tape, like a recording tape, a stone tape. And the theory is that certain geological features in the earth, especially quartz or crystal or granite, different things like that, can induce some of these, trigger, I should say, some of these residual hauntings where there's really no spirit there, but it's like an impression that's impressed upon time space, or in a sense recorded like a magnetic recording tape, but upon the geological features of that particular location. It's a theory. It's called stone tape theory, but it's an interesting thing.
Sure, but haven't you ever noticed too, Doug, that there could be a particular business that it's like, for instance, a restaurant on a corner, and every year it's for sale.
You know, well, you know, that's a good point. There's actually a building here in town. I've seen these all my life. But there's a building, and it's a nice building, but it cannot, in fact, there's a couple of them here that just cannot seem to keep, there have been restaurants all along the years, and they can't stay open. It's
weird. You see, there is where I say that there's something in the ground on that location, and it can be any number of explanations for it, the least of which is spirits, but you can have a business right next door to it, and it does fine. And yet that one particular location, if it's a place that keeps changing hands, that's not where you want to put your business.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put, if you get an opportunity to set up a business, you want to make sure that the location has had something very stable and that the people beforehand had been reasonably successful, because there's an energy that goes with that. And again, I can't tell you exactly the reasons. I just know that it works. And repeatedly, if I see that restaurant, oh, somebody's got grand opening, I say, well, I wonder how long. You can almost put bets on it for how long they'll stay open, you know. But there's an old story, and of course it goes way back to a lot of the tribal people. It's a big Celtic thing. I could list a whole bunch of cultures that do this. But if you want to build a home, for instance, you go out and plot your piece of land where you want to put your house. Stake it out, put a rope around the outside perimeter, you know, reasonably taut, and leave it like that for 24 hours. If the rope is still in place the next day, it's saying the spirits or the energy of the place is saying, yes, you can build there.
Hmm.
Now, if that rope is pulled or one of the stakes is pulled over, it's just saying, no, that's not a good energy. It's not necessarily going to work for you. But maybe you can move it 10 feet over. So a lot of old cultures would continually, you know, kind of stake things out before they put any kind of a permanent building. And, it's just one of those things that lots of people say it works.
So, interesting.
Again, when you're talking about, you know, the ground underneath, and whatever theories we might have, I'll go. It works for me. I'd rather, you know, a little caution, you know. So before I'd start putting up a building, I'd rope it off. But I think that there's so many aspects to energy. Energy flows, the geometrics, like what's a geometric of a star? What's the 5-point star, 6-point star, the geometrics of a cross. Then we get into symbolism, which, you know, very popular in Wiccan, religions, about how to build talismans. But I'll tell you, it's the same very much in runic symbols, bind runes. Lots of cultures would mix and match kinds of symbols to make energy flow. So if you, that's the premise of Reiki, I might add. Reiki, which is using Japanese symbols, visualizing them and projecting them as energy sources.
Right.
So these are geometrics, and we can say essentially that these are architectural designs, even if it's, you know, mental and energetic that we are projecting. So, this particular topic is almost endless. I know that, Ron had messaged today saying that he has a house that hasn't sold for a long time. And, geez, could there be something that he could do for his home that could help it sell? Now, I will tell you, smell is everything. Oddly enough, now we're getting a little bit away from architecture. A trick of realtors is to boil a little bit of cinnamon on the stove in water. It gives that cinnamon bun homey mm-hmm. kind of thing. So anything to do with smells that, oh, Ron just posted in chat, it's been 8 years. Poor guy, 8 years selling his house. But it's anything to do with smells. But when it comes to the movement of energy, the first thing anyone, wants to feel when they walk through the door does it feel inviting? What you'd said earlier, Doug,
right.
But does it feel homey? I think women largely check out kitchens and bathrooms are the two big sellers. So if you wanted to, upgrade those a bit. People are more tolerant, I think, of fixing up a living room than they are having to gut a kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of, if you can maneuver the energy so that it's open. Anything that feels more open in that bathroom area, and in the kitchen, then it makes a difference in how people feel. So it's not just, you know, the productiveness of a room necessarily, but it's how people feel when they're in there. So it's like, even if it's on your countertop, move a kettle, you know, or perhaps move the stove 6 inches over. You'd be amazed at just how that little bit of difference. It's a visual change, and it's a feel. Maybe you want to, if you have an island in the middle of your kitchen, maybe you want to change the way it goes or turn it around, because maybe there's a flow of energy. Put in a big plant. Plants are huge energy movers. So if you know, and there's actually the biggest experiment anybody can do for themselves. Get yourself one of your big plants, just move it around the house at different places, and just experience that for a while, see how it feels, but also watch how the plant feels. Plants will respond differently to different areas of the house. And it's not just about sunlight, you know, this, you know, from that up here, it's, we get more southern sunlight. So it's not just that the sun comes in from the south and that's where your window is. It's also what plants go together. If you put two of certain kinds of plants together, they don't like each other. They both start, it's true, they'll both start to, you know, die. I have done this.
They're killing each other. Move them apart.
You know, which I will, you know, I hope that's a couple of suggestions for Ron and his house anyway, but I, for many years, I, at the place I lived at, had this massive garden. I mean, it was just a massive garden. And I decided year after year after year that I would experiment with energy. I certainly had the space. So I made a spiral-shaped garden one year. I also made a cross, like a big star-shaped one, the big points out. And each year, I could tell you what designs would work better for growing because of how the energy flowed. It's really very fascinating. Of course, I got a reputation in the neighborhood for the crop dusters, you know, the little planes that would go over. They thought like I was making crop circles. But
so you're the one.
Yeah, I'm guilty. But it wasn't really interesting to me how, you know, I'd have even, if I can describe this to you, a circle, but I would make a pathway east and west, north and south. So there would be these openings that you could walk into, and then just all these little quarter-like kind of rows that would go all the way to the center. And I found that at the center points, things didn't grow very well, which was the opposite of what I thought would occur. I thought things would be pulled, that energy would be pulled into the middle. So that's where I had put more of my tomato plants and other things that I thought would be really abundant. But it backfired on me. It was a complete reversal. And things in the center did not get near the energy as the things on the outside. Huh. So it's very fascinating to me on how it had to do with energy, because my soil was consistent, the watering was consistent. So there's a lot of things I was very guarded about to be able to say, yes, I think I can reasonably assess that this is energy at work, not all the other variables.
Speaking of energy, you've been kind of fading in and out since we began, and I was hoping it was just a Skype issue that would pass. What we're going to do is we're going to switch to a quick song, and I want to reconnect and see if we can improve this connection. So,
right,
folks, if you'll bear with us for just a moment, we'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, folks, we're back. Hopefully the connection will be a little better. Some haven't noticed it, but it's just been fading in and out. It was just kind of getting worse, so we'll pick up. Now, Vicki, you're talking about different designs and so forth. What about water in architecture?
Water in architecture. Well, that's water is, again, that organic architecture that we were talking about earlier. The flow of water, it's also a sensory activator. So when you put a little waterfalls in your living room or waterfalls, a lot of people use it for therapy. People in hypnotherapy use that as a calming thing. You'll see it in dentist's office. I've even seen it in lawyers' offices.
Well, yeah. You can see those little rock or those little things you can buy with the little water.
Or the big $10,000 fish tanks that
are
in the lawyer's
too.
Office.
Well, I mean, if you think about most Oriental restaurants I've ever been in have some kind of an aquarium, most of them.
Yeah, and the number 8 is big. So we get into numbers with geometrics in architecture. So everything will have not only we have dimensional sizes, but also the elements, and like water. Water is big, huge consideration in architecture.
Well, it does change the energy of a place, the vibe, the feel. You know, I mean, water is a good thing. I mean, think about us as human beings. We're all drawn to water.
You know, I'll tell you a very interesting thing. I have an aloe plant. I'd had it for probably 5 years. I thought it was retarded, stunted, because it just hardly grew, you know. And there was a woman I had known for a long time, came over to visit one day. She looked at my poor aloe plant, and she said, doesn't your aloe plant, like, grow babies? I said, it hardly grows. I don't know what's the matter with it. But, you know, it's alive, so there you go. And she said, then is it like isn't it a female aloe plant? And I said, look, I wouldn't know the difference between a female and a male aloe plant to save my life. And she said, mine just grows lots of babies. Well, okay, listen up. This is the oddest thing. A month after she'd been there, I got babies out of my aloe plant. The sucker started growing huge, this massive plant just started.
Wow.
And I don't know what she did to it. So we talk about energy. But I have had to transplant it twice. I have already given away 6 baby plants off of this thing. I just checked it the other day. It has 3 new babies coming out of the soil. And I just say, like, what did she do? I've never had this happen in my life. Like, she zapped my plant. So, yes, it's in a different location. Yes, it's got a little bit more sunlight. So there's a lot of things I could say about it. But, hey, look, I'd had that plant for a long time. So it liked her, I guess, better than me.
Well, it just wanted a little recognition. And I think you were just, you know, ignoring it. You weren't.
I didn't know there
attention.
Were girl aloe plants. Look, you know, I didn't know. But it's very interesting. How there's different, that was my fault, Doug. It's very interesting how, again, we're back to energy. And as we started at the very beginning talking about pyramids,
mm-hmm.
Back in the 70s and the 80s, I knew people who were, of course, really crazed into pyramids on the tops of their homes or making pyramids outside, doing pyramid energy, pyramid healing. I even knew people to hang pyramids over their beds. So I guess they thought it would be a better experience.
Makes you smarter or something.
Yeah, you know, or sleeping or otherwise, who knows. But I think people still have that connection. Of course, it's not as trendy these days. But pyramid energy, as we know, has been around, you know, for thousands and thousands of years. It must be geometrically correct and face, I think it's due north, as I understand, or the
cardinal directions.
Yeah, and just have situated perfectly, the dimensions perfectly, and the whatever occurs in that. Now, the Great Pyramid, they say, has a connector, like a beam. Let's just visualize for the sake of visual here on audio, is that you've got a light going straight up, and apparently it's a beacon to the universe and other alien species. Those are theories. But how things can I don't know, like the embalming and things that can just stay forever and ever. Of course, there's lots of techniques for that. But how do things stay? You can actually save your vegetables longer under a pyramid on your counter if it's facing the right way. Things won't rot or spoil as quickly. It's lots of really interesting, and I've seen some of this, but I have never gone so far as to have pyramids all over my counters. But lots of people swear by it. Now, I will tell you that a teepee, for example, a 12-foot diameter base teepee with 12-foot high, you need 14-foot poles. But if you have 12 of them, 12 poles all the way around, and again, those dimensions are accurate, you won't get bugs in there.
Hmm.
This is why I watch Survivor, and I keep waiting for somebody to put up a teepee, and nobody puts up a teepee. But if it's, usually you have, on the inside of a teepee, you have what's called a skirt. And so it's just something that kind of hangs, you know, you can tie it up inside. So it's just a little bit of a fold. And but if bugs come in there, they leave. You won't get mosquitoes in a teepee. You won't get little creepy crawlies in a teepee. It's the energy in there. And I have actually done this for myself and experimented. Grass will grow faster in a teepee.
Well, it is a pyramid, isn't it?
Yes, it's a pyramid of sorts. But if you do the dimensions correctly, 12 poles, 12-foot base, they cross, the poles cross over at 12 feet. You have 2 feet above those 12-foot poles, just so you have the overlap. You have 2 extra poles for your doors, you know, those flaps that can, mm-hmm. you know, at the top for air when you have your fire inside your teepee. No bugs. So there is something really interesting that goes on, and you know, within all kinds of shapes, movements, and I don't know as we can really explain it. I think most of the time it's just like that, experiment with it and see what you get. So lots of material has been written on it, though.
That's interesting. I'm sure that the smoke from the fire would help with the bug situation.
Yeah, but even without a fire, there will be no bugs. Trust me, I've done it. I wondered the same thing. Okay, so if we put out the fire, what happens? You know, here's a thing. Ash is from, you know, but this we get into organics, but ants don't like ashes from fire. So if you put that along the side of your house, everybody, sorry, I just thought about it, Doug. I had to share it.
Okay.
Put ashes around your house from whatever little fire pit you've had, or if you've got a wood fireplace, ants don't like ashes, so they'll stay away.
Hmm. That's good to know.
And don't plant certain things by your house, like peonies, because peony flowers cannot open without ants, and you don't want ants near your house.
That's for sure.
Sorry, when I get talking bugs, I hate ants. You cannot know how much I hate ants. So I like to throw these things in as I think about them.
Hey, it's extra.
It's extra.
It's bonus material.
That's right. Free today. Yeah. Again, if anybody has any questions or comments about architecture, energy, if you have some experience with feng shui, if you have any experience with Japanese gardens or any other kinds of gardens, for instance, please feel free to make mention. Have we missed anything here in the chat room, Doug, that we know of?
I don't believe so. There's some comments on basically moving plants around works wonders. There's John mentioning Zen gardening. Cactus gives very good energy in our living room. So there's some different comments like that.
Well, speaking of Zen gardening for a moment, I happen to know a fellow who has a very small backyard, but he has more nooks and crannies and little pathways in there from Zen gardening. And he calls it his Chinese garden. But he has gone out and actually picked rocks, situated them. He says some rocks are better together than others. And the feeling of rocks, I love the feel of rocks myself. But then he will plant little trees. Some are bonsai, some are flowers. But that Zen gardening, I've got to tell you, I have sat in his garden, walked around, sat in a different spot, or, you know, and so on, that it's unbelievably quiet, calm. Some little, you know, areas feel more active. The little people will, you know, he has little people coming, and he has other little spirits that have come since he's been building and working on his garden. And his little backyard, and he's put in a couple of waterfalls, by the way, it's taken him like 20 years very slowly to build this. And now he is well written about. People with, you know, big architectural magazines come out, home, you know, these home magazines that come out, take pictures, and he's been interviewed. It's a really quite a fascinating little backyard he's got going on. And when I say little, it really is not very big. It's maybe, you know, 60 feet by, you know, 100 feet or something. But you'd swear when you get in there that you're in this vast place. Not unlike a, what do you call it, a labyrinth, you know? It's very much like that. It's quite interesting. So I appreciate John mentioning Zen gardening.
Well, let's talk about some of the practical approaches to energy. You know, give a few ideas. And some that come to mind for me is something I started to mention. If you think about a home that is very cluttered and messy, it's got a certain energy, probably a negative energy to it. If you think of a home that is very pristine, very you know, spotless, well kept, everything is in its place, it also has a certain energy to it. But then there's the types of, I mean, if we should focus on the homes for a moment where we all live, you know, think about the energy of your home. What kind of a vibe do you have from your home? Is it a positive, safe, secure, cozy type vibe, or is it a place where, you know, you don't feel safe, you don't feel good? And if that's the case, then what would have to change? Well, you know, we've talked about some different suggestions. I mean, you can rearrange the furniture, you can move plants around, you can add water, a little waterfall device, you can, you know, put different pictures on the wall. All these things will change the energy or the vibe that you have with your house. I mean, we all have different tastes, right, in houses. We all have different things we like. Some people like farmhouses, Vicky.
yeah.
Some people...
But I don't do dead animals on my wall.
Yeah. Well, that's another energy, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Some people are hunters, and they'll mount deer heads and so forth, bear heads and all that on their walls. I don't go for that. But, you know, there's, for me, it's like, just to expand on my own, I love cherry wood. And someday when I grow up, I'm going to put cherry wood panels on the walls here. You know, I've got cherry wood bookcases around me. And that just, for me, is got the energy I want. And
it's a beautiful energy, yeah.
And so think about those things from a practical point of view to change the energy of your home if necessary.
Well, I think everyone should have at least consider to create a meditation corner. You know, that quiet little corner you can go to. And what would you put in there that would stimulate your quiet? I know that's an oxymoron, isn't it, or something? But it's what would create that?
Well, think about incense. I mean, if you burn incense, does it not change the energy of the home?
It certainly changes how you feel.
Well, that's the same thing in essence,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Sure.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's a great idea.
Ron asked in the chat room, is having a house shaped exactly like a square, does it have a bad energy or not? You know, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad energy, because I know a lot of the early pioneers put together absolutely square houses, you know, and it actually had that pyramid-shaped top on the roof. And, you know, it's very easy to put together. It's just a, you know, perfect square dimension. And it worked for a lot of people. I have read, and of course, according to the Da Vinci Code, a 1 by 1.68 is apparently the best for being social people. It's one of those perfect dimensions. So it's, you know, I think that's why the rectangle, of course, you can utilize your space better in a rectangle. But I don't know if the square is a bad energy. I think more about home. Wouldn't you agree, Doug?
You think more about what?
Walking into the home, what would happen when you walk through the door? You know, it's like what happens when you walk into the door of a square home. How is it set up inside?
Yeah, obviously. And again, I want to stress from my point of view only, at least, that a house, that the energy of a particular house can differ. One person might find the energy in a particular house great, where another one might not. And so a lot of it has to do with what we think, our own beliefs, our own consciousness, our own perceptions, and so forth. And so, these ideas that we're talking about, I don't know about our listeners, but, you know, I look at our own home here, and there are parts of it that are really cool. I mean, we have some oriental... Yeah, can you hear me?
I got you now, but we lost those last two sentences.
Okay. I was saying that I think in my home here, there's some neat parts of it. You know, we have some oriental furniture in one section of it, some Japanese furniture, and it's cool. You know, and I always look at it and think, wow, that really looks cool. And then there are other parts where I think, wow, we could really do something with that. You know, it needs something. And so the energy from one room to another is different. I've even, been on in paranormal investigations where the energy of...
Right, we're having a difficult Skype night.
Is it? Am I blanking out?
Yeah, a little bit.
Might be on my end.
Well, I noticed there's somebody else. Shauna, just a little while ago, said her connection is really slow tonight, and it might not be her internet at all. It could very well be a Skype night. So we've had those little gremlins before.
Dr. John's telling me, yes, I'm cutting out here. So
well,
we're gonna probably wrap up the show early tonight anyway for this. But I just wanted to point out from a practical point of view, to sum it up, and let me know if I cut out, that look at the way things are set up and try some different things that you like, whatever that is. If it's a meditation corner or some kind of an area for that, burning incense, whatever.
Well, and you can try, again, one of the suggestions is if you're having trouble sleeping, maybe put the head of your bed to a different direction and see if that does make a difference for you. Again, we have to make the distinction about what is psychological versus what you're really tuning into about energy. And so it's good to do your own little survey and be as objective as possible. But I think there's a geometrics. I think there's a lot to geometrics. I think there are a lot to shapes. And I think a lot of people over the years, there's yurts. The Mongolians are very famous for yurts, which is a circular home. And again, that, circular pyramid type of cone that's put on the top for a roof. So, it's really fascinating how, not unlike the... teepees, these yurts, and if anybody ever gets, if you're ever inclined to IRT, Google that sometime, and you'll see some really cool things, and they're sold all over the world now, and relatively cheap, that people can set up. They're very durable, and they can endure high winds and great temperatures, so, and it's just, again, the way the energy is inside, the way they hold heat. Geometrics, I think, has a lot to do with how we live and how it influences our psyches and how we feel. I know there was just another, Manisha made a comment about colors.
Mm-hmm.
Colors are critical. Boy, there's a lot of study about colors. Hospitals, jails, as therapists, we all know how much color influences people, and to try to stay as neutral as possible so people aren't irritated or... color is everything. I'm a white wall kind of girl myself, so.
Well, yeah, obviously different colors can give a different feel for a home. John posts, how about the space that is used in a home, kind of like the entropy of the home, like how much space is used, and he feels that less is more. So, again, that kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with less clutter, with more open areas. One of the floor plans common in Florida is what they call an open floor plan, and you'll have the kitchen generally in the middle, along with the dining room or the family room, that type thing, the living room. And it's a lot of the homes will have cathedral ceilings or vaulted ceilings, and there's not a lot of, it's just all kind of open. And then on each side of the house, one side you'll have the master bedroom, and on the other side you'll have the other bedrooms. It's a split plan, but it's an open thing, and it really gives a very open energy feel to a home.
And, you know, we went through a big thing through the 70s and 80s where when houses were designed, largely in North America, kitchens got very small. And because I guess they figured people should have less time in kitchens,
oh,
so
yeah,
they ate more in fast food. And now it's, as you say, especially in various areas like Florida, it's very different. But there's more open, and people are giving more time to kitchens and that socializing and
mm-hmm.
food and the home. So it makes people want to stay at home and cook more if you have a larger, spacious kitchen. So, you know, it's energy and geometrics, architecture is a huge study, and I love it. I love it. So I'm glad we got to talk about this a little bit tonight. So
yeah, it's
a little bit off our beaten path, but
yeah, it is. And, you know, so take the stuff that we've talked about, look at your home. If you want to change the energy, start moving things around, changing colors, changing, you know, if it's cluttered, needs to be cleaned up, do that. Try plants, try water. A lot of interesting things we can do. So,
well, it's been interesting. I hear our Skype is still cutting out a
yeah,
little bit, Doc.
It is.
I hope everybody comes back next week. I think we had a plan for our next week's show, didn't we?
We have a couple of topics coming up. One's on characteristics of success. Another one's on how to be a fireproof employee. It's more life skills. So we'll post our topic for next week here shortly on the website. If this is interesting to you, please visit us at mchschurch.org, Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics and possibly get your doctoral degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. You'll find a lot of information there. We appreciate everybody's listening tonight, listening in, whether live or on the archive. Thanks to Dr. John Hightower for screening calls, producing behind the scenes, and power and positive energy out to everybody.
White
Send
lights.
Yeah,
lots
white
of
lights.
White lights.
Have a great
week. Thanks again for good conversation, and to all of our listeners.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, and let other people know if you would too. And with that, have a great night. See you next week. Night.